Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program that addresses the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities, an organization committed to identifying and carrying out projects that will improve the quality of life in San Luis Obispo County. The show's topics and guests focus on raising public awareness about local and regional concerns and is made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. How does the community engage the under 40 crowd and involve them in discussion, idea sharing, and to shape the future of a city's political, business, and overarching community life? Well, that's the topic of today's show. And my guests are Mina Kareem, President and CEO of the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce, Audrey Bigelow, member of the Founding Five for Slow Scoop, and Courtney Mesnerich, see, I almost blew it, a leader with Slow U40, are here today to discuss recent efforts to increase U40 or under 40 engagement in the city of San Luis Obispo. Our show today is live, and we invite you to join our conversation with your comments and your questions. And you can do that by calling 805-781-3875. I'll say that again. It's 805-781-3875. And welcome to
Thank
all
you.
Of you.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
You.
This is a great and interesting topic. I'm excited to learn about it. And Armina, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
A little bit about this started with a concept from the Chamber of Commerce in San Luis Obispo. Talk a little bit about kind of how that idea came to be and what came out of it.
Absolutely. So I think that our organization, two of its core values is around asking what's possible and connecting diverse perspectives. And as an organization that has a long track record in advocacy and furthering our community quality of life, that's what our economic vision is for our organization, we're challenged by how do we have more diverse perspectives involved in the conversation, involved in shaping this place that we love. And so it isn't a new concept, certainly, but one that has been percolating over the years at our organization through different volunteer interests and member interests. And so last year, our board of directors really prioritized how do we really engage younger voices in shaping this place and engaging them in the cultural, social, and economic well-being.
Mm-hmm.
It's both selfish. It's both for our organization, but more broadly for the voices that show up in all the places of our community. And so that ultimately, we had no idea what to do. And we said, well, why should we figure out this? We were a bunch of over 40-year-olds sitting at the table. And we said, well, we got to do this a different way. So we reached out to individuals we knew that where this was in their age demographic. And I think the first thing we learned before even inviting a wider group was that you can't generalize. People are people. Their age does not mean that there's a blanket approach to how to address this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that opened our eyes. And we said, well, let's bring and invite young leaders into this conversation. And so that was how we started. We really had no idea what was going to unfold, except for we wanted to create the space for that conversation and really genuinely demonstrate that we don't believe that you own a conversation, you can start a conversation, and we'd love to be part of it. And so we put together what we called an Activate Summit, and we reached out and invited about 60 individuals between the ages of 20 to 40 to participate in this conversation. And what unfolded on this afternoon, just about a year ago, in fact, was really very exciting, I think, for everybody that was in the room. And I think it has started a conversation, but I think there's many more opportunities, and that's what I'm looking forward to engaging in today.
So were both of you at this summit?
Yes.
You were both there.
And what Armina didn't add is that there was beer at this summit.
And well, I would hope so.
That helps. Yeah, that helped get our demographic there. But we were both there, and I'd agree with what Armina said. It was really exciting, and I think going in, none of us knew really what to expect. We're going to talk about what, you know?
So how did the outreach, how did someone reach out to you? Was somebody that knew you?
It was through the chamber. Okay. I'm already actively involved in the chamber, and so I got an invitation. And it's funny, after the Activate Summit, the word spread about it, and there were so many more people that wanted to be involved and wanted to have a voice and a seat at that table. And so that's kind of where we started.
I was on the board. I still am on the board of the Young Professionals Networking Group, and I had been talking with the chamber's president at the time, Cheryl Cummings, about just how to same conversation, how to get more people involved through that, using that group that already existed. Right. And she had mentioned to me that this event was going to be happening sometime, and there was no idea what was going to happen, but to plan on coming. And so I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. I'm really interested in coming. And then when they reached out to invite us, they asked us to invite another person that we thought would be a good fit to come to this.
So you each tried to bring somebody else to come to it. Was everybody at the summit someone that was already involved in the chamber?
No.
Okay. That was really purposeful. We really didn't want to be in our own echo chamber. Right. I think we all participate in enough places like that.
Exactly.
And so our whole goal was just to have more and to let that unfold. I think the chamber is in some ways really a little wonky. We really love process. And the process to us is more about how do you get more people into the process, because then the outcome is more robust. It's shaped by more. And you can trust that if you trust how it came to be. So it's not just selected and it's only people who already believe in something. It is being really open.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what strikes me about that, too, is I think that is a really progressive idea, because I think we can also get caught in the idea that because we have young people working with us, that we understand what they're thinking. You know, I have a lot of young employees, therefore I'm kind of with it and I get it. And I don't know that that's true.
I think that we, and this was a conversation certainly with our board of directors before we held the summit, which was, well, you know, they would go about five steps further saying, well, what if this happens? Well, what if this happens? Well, we don't know. We have to try. And I think there was a real openness to recognizing that where you are, doesn't matter what your age is, where you are and the circumstances that either got you to that point or what you're experiencing at that moment really influence your perspective. Mm-hmm. And so we and our memories are not perfect. So what I even think about yesterday, I can't actually even trust, you know, and so because there's emotion associated with
that. Exactly.
And so the only way to do it is to actually have a broad variety of those perspectives.
Were there concerns on the part of the chamber or members of the chamber for opening the summit, inviting individuals into the conversation?
Not at all. Okay. I think it really is a cultural part of our organization. So we're an advocacy organization. So every single month we're studying issues, and we always bring a pro and con on every single topic we look at. And so I think it's really integral
it's
to the way
we... It's part of the culture.
It's part of the culture. Mm-hmm. It's the way we approach things, and that it's that we're open to where it's going to go and really asking what's possible.
Well, how about for you, Audrey and Courtney? Were there hesitations for you in coming into this?
I had zero hesitations.
Zero.
Yeah, I was really excited to see what we could talk about and what was going to come out of it. And I think that there was a level of intrigue because we didn't really know what it was going to entail.
Right.
So it's like, oh, there's so much mystery involved. Like, what are we going to do at this event? So it was exciting for me, and I was fortunate to be able to go.
So talk about the summit. What happened for you at the summit? What was that about for you?
It was really great to see so many people invested that would take the time to show up. It was in the afternoon during work hours, so it was really impressive to see how many people were willing to take the time and be there to actually engage in the conversation. And the way that the summit was facilitated, I think, was really incredible to the outcome, because it was a lot of coming up with things that were actually things that you could do and things that were actionable at the end of the 4 hours that we were there. So it wasn't just like, hey, let's talk about all these ideas we have and then let's make this list and then this list gets put in a pile of papers and we never look at it again. It was actually coming up with things that we were going to do the next day even. So it was very, it worked very well to get people actually coming up with things that we were going to start implementing the very next day, which
so
is great.
So it was actionable as an individual, but also as a group.
As groups,
so
yeah.
So whether you stayed connected or not, you could still do something.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
I would add that it was powerful for me as someone who considers themselves to be heavily involved in the community already to see other U40s who wanted to be involved but didn't necessarily know how, weren't comfortable, were intimidated. It was powerful to see the number of people who wanted to take some or be engaged at a higher level that just weren't already. And to know that that voice is out there to be harnessed just provided this huge aha moment for me. Like, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we harnessing that voice? Why aren't we getting these people a seat at the table?
So let's talk a little bit about that. Why aren't we? You know, I'm not in that group, by the way, not even close. But why is that a barrier? Or what are some of the barriers for U40?
I would say for slow U40, for the organization that we've started to develop and kind of nurture, we're seeing that it's not so much our opinions and our voices that are lacking. It's that we can't get people there. We have different lives. We've got, you know, a lot of us have young families. We're building our careers. We've got social lives, not to say that O40s don't, but it's all of these things that really take up a lot of time. And there are barriers in civic engagement that prevent us from sitting at a 3-hour long city council meeting or reading through a 300-page budget document. And so we're trying to find ways to break down those barriers so that people feel like they can get involved at a level where they can actually maintain it.
Were there other things that you heard?
I think that there's sometimes just this perception that people don't think that their opinions and voices are valuable mm-hmm. to an extent, mm-hmm. and because they've never necessarily taken the initiative to join certain organizations or get into any kind of leadership role or something along those lines, they didn't think that there was any place for them necessarily to go and voice their opinion. So I think a lot of it is just being asked to be involved in some capacity. I think that there definitely are a lot of different things that contribute to not being heard, but a lot of what Courtney said, you know, time and work and, you know, just all these different things that conflict. But a lot of it, I think, is just saying, hey, we want to know what you think and come tell us what you think about these certain things.
When you mentioned you were involved with the young professionals group with Wai-Ping, and how, because that is a group that is very supportive and there's a lot of information and a lot of collaboration there, but how is this different in terms of you being able to bring your voice to this as opposed to a group that is specific to under 40?
I think that in the very early beginnings of YPNG, there was kind of this idea that it was going to be their own version of the chamber in a way, mm-hmm. and it wasn't necessarily created to create, I don't want to say it wasn't created to collaborate with the chamber. There just really wasn't very much collaboration between YPNG and the chamber, and that's something that when I became president, I really started trying to change to get more involved, because it's a natural, like, pipeline from mm-hmm. being involved with the young professionals to being involved with the chamber. And mm-hmm. I think that there's employers that don't necessarily have chamber memberships or aren't as involved in the chamber, and YPNG should be another way for people to have access to the chamber if their employer is not offering that opportunity. So I think that just the dynamic and the way that YPNG was structured has definitely changed a lot in the last probably 3-ish years, and really working towards more collaboration with the chamber and with all these groups. I don't necessarily think it's a lot different. It just was kind of shaped in a different way, if that makes sense.
Got it. Yeah.
You know, I want to add on, I want to echo what the question you asked around what keeps people from participating.
Right.
You know, it's something that we spend a lot of time thinking about. And mm-hmm. and both of these ladies are really focused on it as well. And I would echo what Courtney shared about time and the ability to do that. And it's something we've been challenged organizationally with over the years. How do we get more people to show up? What's the, you know, I had a board meeting this morning, and it's probably the first time in the whole year I've actually asked them to show up for something that's upcoming, because it is difficult in general. Doesn't matter what your age is, but it becomes even more difficult, I think, when you are in your life building stage. And I think that there are a lot of structures that we as a society have not considered that are barriers, including as simple as how we, the formality around engagement. And we don't think about, none of us want to feel like we don't know how to do something, right? None of us. And so coming to, let's use a city council meeting, and understanding what the lights mean and what the sheet of paper to fill out means and how to address people. These seem perhaps obvious if you've ever been to it at least once.
Right.
But really, I think those are some of the barriers.
It is intimidating.
Mm-hmm. And I think that exists for any age. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, for it to be pretty foreign to you makes it even that much more challenging. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have the opportunity, and I think that's what these women and the individuals that they're working with are trying to break down those barriers. Yeah. And I think ultimately, and that's what we're trying to do organizationally. What are the things that we do as an organization? And I think I challenge the other organizations in the community, because it doesn't matter what if you're about education or the arts, how are we welcoming more in and really looking at what keeps people? The starting line is not the same for everybody.
Right, exactly. If you just joined us, you're listening to Central Coast Voices here on KCBX, your public radio station. We are talking about UB40 activating under 40 leaders in San Luis Obispo. And my guests are Ermina Carmine, President and CEO of San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce, Audrey Bigelow, member of the Founding Five for San Luis, or for Slow Scoop, and Courtney Mesnerich, a leader with Slow U40. Today's show is live, and we invite you to join our discussion today. If you have a question or a comment about today's topic, we'd love to hear from you. And you can reach us on air at 805-781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. I have a question that came up, Ermina, as I was listening to you. Years ago, when Leadership Slow was started, one of the purposes really of that program for the chambers, you know, that started it at that time, was really to try and engage new leaders, younger mm-hmm. leaders, and to do the teaching mm-hmm. of the very things that you were talking about, mm-hmm. about some government, local government, city, county governments, access to it, understanding it a little bit. And that really has worked, and it's attracted. You've done now
We're in our 25th year. We're celebrating 25 years.
Yeah.
And I know you're a graduate.
Yeah.
And
very old graduate.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's a that's exactly what that program is about.
Right.
And over time, I think it is about sparking that interest in individuals at different levels of their life. It's not a young professional development effort. It is really to bring the diversity of our community and be as inclusive as possible and give a community leadership development, whether you are going to become involved in your PTA, you're going to lead young leaders mm-hmm. And getting them activated. You might be the city manager or in your fire department, whatever it is. But ultimately, we can only touch 36 people
in a year
to mm-hmm. go through this year-long program.
Right.
And those individuals may go off and have profound impact in their communities. However, it is still limiting. And I think that's what's exciting about this is we just want to lift up the boundaries and the fences and really make it as expansive. And I think I'd love to hear a little bit more about exactly what Slow Scoop is and what the Slow U40 movement is doing, because I think it speaks to their powerful use of social media to engage more people.
Mm-hmm. And so those came out of the summit?
Yes, these were two of the initiatives that were created from the summit, and really the two that seemed to have the most traction behind them coming out of the summit and kept moving forward. And we, just to give a little bit more information about the Slow Scoop, we decided we needed some form of communication that we could quickly and easily disseminate information to people who didn't want to pour through some of these hard-to-read city documents and agendas and other things. Like, there was just no real central place for people to go to get information of how they could get involved with certain things, or, you know, different things that were happening, different meetings that were important to go to, that kind of thing. So we really kind of are aiming still to be a very central communication tool for everybody to use, to be able to just read something within 5 minutes and kind of have a better idea, a better understanding of things that are going on in the community.
So talk a little bit about Slow Scoop. What is it?
It is a newsletter.
It's a newsletter. Yes. Okay, it's an online newsletter?
It is an email newsletter.
Okay.
And we kind of were inspired by something that's really popular in the U40 demographic, which is the SKIM.
Not just U40.
So the SKIM is on a global events platform, and they do the same idea, just really quick, easy to read summaries of current events that are going on.
Right.
And two people, myself being one of them, had the idea separately at the summit that this was something that we could model a newsletter after, because it was such a powerful newsletter itself. And the idea behind it was like, hey, we're going to take these complex topics and make them easier to understand, because I think that is another barrier to a lot of things, is that it's just not easy to understand the information that's available. Right. So we kind of ran with that idea that we could take a lot of things that were important to the community and break them down a little bit more with pop culture references or things that are just entertaining, and kind of make it easier to relate to in a way. But just to get people kind of talking about it, things that they need to be talking about a little bit more, because I think one of the biggest things that we noticed from the summit was that there was not really a huge political civic involvement with our age group, and wanting to really stimulate that in a different way. So
there was a local engagement with government?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's overwhelming, it's intimidating, and
there's not much engagement across the, you know, we have a really engaged community.
Yes.
And a very caring community, but the actual political process for decision making is more limited.
Oh yeah, a lot more limited.
And I would say that the U40s are also underrepresented politically as elected officials. There's, I think it's around 50% of our community now is under the age of 44. And we've got one guy on the city council who can say the same. And it's been that way for years, almost 2 decades. We haven't had anybody on the city council that represents a huge portion of our demographic. And so that's what Slow U40 is really trying to do. We're trying to break down some of those barriers to getting involved, educate, and then take action on behalf of the whole, because a lot of times they can't show up to city council meetings to make their voices heard.
And so how does Slow U40 do that?
So Slow U40 also came out of the Activate Summit, and we kind of realized there's this latent political power in our community that's not being harnessed. So what we're starting to do now, and it takes time, to put together these groups, which we've learned, but how we've kind of started is we're hosting forums on current events or current topics of interest. Housing is huge for the under 40 demographic. So we've hosted a forum on housing that just kind of gave everyone that showed up the baseline knowledge of, here's what happened, here's where we are now, here's some solutions to fix it, what do you think? And we've also hosted a forum on the rental housing inspection program, which seriously impacts a lot of under 40s. And then we use a format similar to what the Activate Summit used to gather all of the opinions of the people in the room and really come up with concise, actionable items. And out of that, we take those items and solutions to the city council and make our opinion known.
And so the How many? You've had two forums so far?
We've had two forums so far. We plan to host a city council candidates forum closer to November. It'll probably be the beginning of October, just because it gives people under the age of 40 a place where they can feel comfortable. It's not to say that they don't have the same questions as people over the age of 40, mm-hmm. but when they're surrounded by a group of their own peers, they feel more comfortable to ask questions and get involved that maybe they wouldn't before.
Yeah. So how has the response been?
The response has been incredible.
Really?
Yeah. And
talk a little bit about how that response is.
It goes to show that what we saw in that room mm-hmm. last year for the Activate Summit is even bigger than that. The two forums that we've hosted have had between 50 and 60 people at each forum.
That's great.
We've got 200 people signed up for our email list to receive information from us. And if you know anything about collecting emails for a list, it's not easy.
Yeah.
So that just, I think it goes to show how people really do want a place where they can feel like their voice is being heard and they can feel comfortable and get involved in the issues that they want to be involved in.
So with the forum emails, then are they also active in the newsletter? Are they receiving the newsletter as well?
Yeah, so it's great because everybody's being really collaborative with each other.
Great.
And like every time there's something that they're posting, Slow Scoop is trying to post it as well, and it goes back and forth between all of us. And so there's definitely a huge reach. The email list is not as big as I think the following is, because it's, you know, getting people to subscribe to that email is not the easiest thing to do. But the readership, I think, is huge, just based on, you know, loosely on stats we have from our Facebook engagement. There's a lot of people reading the newsletter.
And how often are you updating it?
We send it out every 2 weeks. Just sent it out this morning, actually. So mm-hmm. we are sticking to our every 2 weeks right now. I think it's pretty reflective of the need, too. Mm-hmm. I think that it balances well with how much information we feel is necessary to put out. I don't feel like it needs to be any more frequently right now, which could definitely change. But I think we've got a good system working right now, and we've put out eight newsletters so far since we started sending them out.
Impressive.
And since May, so
it is impressive because they nailed the tone, mm-hmm. which I think is the, you know, as a former journalist, I was probably the most skeptical about that. I'm an avid skim reader, and I think it's key to being able to connect people, and just been so impressed by the balancing act when you're tackling something political. Mm-hmm. We all know how easily we can make a misstep, and I think they've just done a phenomenal job.
Thank you.
The e-newsletter, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not any kind of mind-blowing technology, but it's those little things that you 40s like to use technology. They're digital. Yeah. They use their phones, you know, and so using some of those technologies to reach our demographic has been really successful, and it's been really nice to have the scoop because they've been able to kind of get the word out in a way that's funny and, you know, not too serious. Something we'll actually read.
It definitely is fun. We have a lot of fun. There's five of us working on it, and we have a great time putting it together. So
does it feel like there's more inclusion in the chamber as a result of the summit and some of the activities that you're doing? Do you feel more open doors there, or is it the same as it always was?
I'll jump in and just say the chamber has been hugely supportive in mm-hmm. this process.
Obviously.
Like I said, it's not easy to get a group together and figure out how we're going to be structured and how we're going to make decisions. And that's still something that we're working through. And they've been there to be our mentors in that process. And we've kind of called it a mentor-mentor relationship mm-hmm. because they're getting valuable feedback from us as U40s as well. Mm-hmm. They've, like I said, certainly been supportive, but it's not necessarily a door to the chamber to be involved in Slow U40. It's a group in its own right.
You can if you want.
Yeah, you can if you want.
I would say it's consistent with our – if I was looking at it from the chamber platform, I'd say it is part of our vision.
Uh-huh.
And that it's a really, I mean, that is how do more voices participate in shaping our community? And if we can support connection, fantastic, but we don't have to be the facilitator for that. It should be more that you have a better community when you have that. There are many underrepresented voices. U40 is one of them. And I think that as we look at how we become a more inclusive community more broadly, it's the things we're looking at, our Leadership Slow program. It's what we look at our chamber. And I think it's something we want to see in our community, more diverse diversity. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, absolutely. If you just joined us and you're listening to KCBX, your public radio station at 90.1 San Luis Obispo, 91.7 Salinas to Paso Robles, 89.5 Santa Barbara and around the world, and the web at kcbx.org. In business and politics, engaging emerging leaders is as important as hearing more established voices. My guests today are sharing their thoughts about the importance of diverse perspectives and local efforts to bring more voices forward. My guests are Ermina Kermin of the San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce, Audrey Bigelow, the founding of the Founding Five for Slow Scoop, and Courtney Mesnerich with Slow U40. We'd love for you to add your voice to our conversation today and to share your thoughts or questions. You can join us by calling us at 781-3875. Again, that's 781-3875. So if people wanted to get involved, like they have an interest in being involved in the newsletter or an interest in being involved in U40, how do they do that?
For Slow U40, right now we are doing our best to host a forum per quarter.
Okay.
It's kind of what we've decided we can handle right now. But in addition, we have a steering committee that is helping to develop what the structure of our group is going to look like. And we welcome people to join that committee if they're interested. We meet approximately once a month, once every month and a half. Or if people just want to get information about the forums, we've got an email list on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/slowu40, and you can sign up there, get emails from us.
Okay. For Slow Scoop?
I think that eventually we might need additional writers, but right now I think we are pretty set for people who are writing right now.
But if people wanted to subscribe.
If they want to subscribe, the best place to do that would be at facebook.com/slowscoop. Or you can just follow us on Facebook and get all the newsletters that way as well.
So what is the next step? And I wanted, a question too. If people did join the group, you're mindful of the fact, obviously, that people don't have a lot of time sometimes. So if they got involved...
Right.
We're not talking about three-hour meetings that they're
sitting
through. No,
we're not talking about three-hour meetings. You know what's interesting is our forums have been between 2 and 3 hours long, mm-hmm. and we don't get any pushback on that. But I think that's because the format that we're using is highly engaging. Mm-hmm. We're using a format that is called Liberating Structures. And we've had a lot of help from Samson Blackwell over at Cal Poly in organizing that format. And basically what it involves is starting at the kind of top of the funnel with what are the big ideas. Our speakers can come share what they're talking about, whatever topic that is, say it's housing. And then we break into smaller groups. You get a chance to ask questions. You get a chance to hear the answers. Break into even smaller groups and really start developing those actionable items. And so people are engaged the entire time. They're not just sitting there listening to someone speak at them. So if you want to get involved, that's what you can expect at our forums. You mm-hmm. by no means are required to come to every forum. You can come for as long as you want. You can come to as many as you want. If you want to be part of our steering committee and be involved at a higher level, then that commitment is a little bit more time intensive. But hopefully that even will kind of thin out as time goes on and we really start to develop what we want to look like as a group.
And there's a lot of learning, it sounds like, that takes place at any level of involvement.
There is, and that's one of our objectives, is that educational outreach, making people feel like they have a safe place to ask the questions and not feel like they're asking a stupid question, and really drill down into what matters to them. How does this affect me?
Talk about the mentor-mentor relationship that you've seen happening, because I think that's really got so much value.
Well, you know, these ladies were really gracious at the very beginning when one of the questions was around, you know, was there, you know, how is the, you know, the chamber relationship and what does it mean? And I think that there were individuals that were coming into the Activate Summit naturally questioning, well, why does this mean we are going to get indoctrinated in some way into the
Is this a recruitment?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think, like any relationship, there's some trust building that has to occur. Yeah. And really what you see is what you get. We are interested in this. And I think it's been really a very open two-way conversation. And, you know, from our side, for example, there were quite a few ahas that came out of both the Activate Summit, and then we invited the U40 leadership of these different initiatives to our annual board retreat last year to inform our organization so all of our leadership could really ask the questions and follow and understand. And some of the ahas included, we don't want a special seat at the table. We neither want a kid's table, and we don't want any favors. You know, we will earn, but we also have a voice. And sometimes, you know, mixing those two voices we may not create the space, because you may be at the table with your boss, or you may, you know, mm-hmm. other people you look up to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whenever, as we each mature, we come into our own, I guess it happens for individuals at different stages, we recognize what we have to contribute to the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what these efforts are allowing for, is really more comfort in developing voice, because the passion exists, the commitment exists, it is the space to provide it.
Likewise, what I'm thinking, you know, as leaders in the community, existing leaders in the community, it's really important for us to always work on our leadership, mm-hmm. which is how do you include new leaders? Mm-hmm. And that's really learning how to listen for their voices. So what I'm hearing you say is that it may be that we're not offering the opportunities or giving the space
and inviting it. I mean, mm-hmm. one of the common refrains I personally heard after the Activate Summit was, wow, I feel, I'm going to use the word special. I don't think that's actually the word that was used. Mm-hmm. But really, I mean, kind of empowered. Like, you are recognizing me as a leader. And I think that that happens, and it doesn't actually matter your age. I think these are the things that when somebody else sees something in you and actually invites you to participate, mm-hmm. it allows you, you've created that space then. And I think we all can do more of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly have a lot of work to do on mm-hmm. myself in doing that. And mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, is there a generational thing of, you know, from generation before mine, there was that age is wisdom, you know, and there was a deference. I mean, there was an expected deference to age, experience, and wisdom, whether that existed or not. And that can be really disempowering.
Yeah, I would actually like to talk a little bit about that, because at the Central Coast Economic Forecast last year, there was a guy who spoke. What
Seth
was his
Madison.
Name? Seth Madison. And he talked about just that, mm-hmm. you know, the generation that came before us is still very top down.
Yep.
That's how they operate. And our generation is a network. We talk to each other. We expect to talk to our boss the same way that we talk to our best friend. And the two generations don't always see eye to eye on that. So we think that the way that we're structuring this now is that here in this forum, you have, you know, 50 other people that talk like you, that look like you, that have the same concerns as you. We'll take that. We'll wrap it up into a nice little package, and then we'll go present it in the way that the city council is used to hearing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually maybe we can break down some of those barriers, and maybe the process will look a little different 5, mm-hmm. 10, 15 years from now. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly still there, that top-down kind of philosophy.
Oh, I think absolutely it's there. There's no question about it. And, you know, is there some intent at some point? Because I think that within an older leadership model, there also are people, I think Ermina is an example of it, of individuals who are open, who can be a champion.
Sure.
For being able to teach people within an older leadership structure that there are opportunities to open doorways. Mm-hmm. that you do have a mentor.
Sure. And that's something that we're actually really proud of this election cycle, is that we have three under 40 candidates in the Slo City Council race. And that's really, I think, a good step toward incorporating that voice onto us, onto the City Council panel. And it's going to be a process. I mean, it doesn't just happen overnight, but having those champions, whether they're O40s or U40s, is going to help us move things along.
And learning in that process, you were going to say something too.
Yeah, I was just going to add that every step of this process of getting the Slo scoop to an actual, like, up and running newsletter, everybody's just been very supportive of everything. And when we went to the Chamber's board retreat, we all got the opportunity to present our topics to smaller groups and take feedback. And everybody, like, I don't think anybody really had any negative things to say about the Slo scoop. They had ideas, they had suggestions, they had questions, of course, but everybody has just been really supportive and empowering on, I think, all of our initiatives to really help and offer help whenever they can and make sure that we're succeeding and not really questioning why we're doing what we're doing or having any kind of doubt cast towards us on how we're doing this. So I think that's been amazing to have just so many people be supportive and encouraging about it.
So there aren't any concerns?
I don't know that there aren't any concerns. I would say
there's always concerns.
Not concerns about either of these efforts. I'm going to frame it a little differently.
Okay.
I think that whenever in any conversation you begin to look at where is a less represented voice and how can we shine the light on that voice, there is a natural concern about what does that mean for the more predominant.
How is it going to change things?
Yes. What is it? What does that mean? And I'll say, I'll use, you know, individuals, many great people I know, having the question, well, does that mean my voice no longer matters? And I think that that's a very normal reaction. And I think that's where the relationship, both in this effort and then even thinking, we were thinking about it for our organization, how do we organizationally need to evolve, is a balancing act, that we are benefiting from all of these voices. We're benefiting from the institutional knowledge. You know, it can accelerate success when you actually grow from what others have already learned. And if you're open to receiving that information, I know that for me, that helps me move faster, more efficiently, you know, and vice versa. I mean, I think learning how you can do it differently. The reason we have incredible community leadership is because those individuals are always challenging the way they approach this community, their business lives, their cultural lives. They don't settle for the status quo, and they're not ready to be checked out of the conversation. And I think in every case that our existing, more established leadership that's been maybe at it for 30 years is excited by the individuals who are stepping forward and that are going to carry this torch next. And all of our responsibility is to keep fueling that pipeline.
Yes. Absolutely. With the forum that you had on housing, what were some of the areas, the activation that came out of that?
I would say the overarching message that came out of that was we just need more, whatever kind, we just need more. But we had some follow-up meetings with some developers who were working on affordable housing, and unfortunately one of those projects fell through, or at least has fallen through for the time being. But it was so neat to see our U40 crowd involved in that conversation. What do you want to see? Why won't this building height work? What would make you say, yes, this is a good project? And it was so nice to be able to have our voices, our
and
seat at that table.
And to ask those questions.
And
to know
those questions.
To ask those questions,
right.
Which is great.
So that was one of the great things that came out of it. And we continue to be solicited for our input. And that's awesome, because now people say, oh, they're there, they're organized, let's go talk to them. The other thing that came out of it, and I don't want to take responsibility for it, but it seemed to come up about at the same time was the Dwell Forward group. Mm-hmm. And
talk a little, what is that?
Well, I'm not entirely familiar with it because it's not a group I'm part of, but they're focusing solely on the housing issues that we're mm-hmm. facing in the city of San Luis Obispo. And it's nice to kind of have a spin-off group like that that can take that on because it's a huge issue. Mm-hmm. And we just scratched the surface with our forum. Mm-hmm.
Dwell Forward is an effort started by the Home Builders Association of our county, and it really, it's not solely age-focused, but it really is about, because this is the top issue, certainly in the business community for employers and for employees, how to have more access to diverse housing options.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the ways that we, the chamber, learned a lot from U40 was at the Activate Summit, and then the first issue they took on was housing, was how passionate that room was about this topic and how disempowered they were in the conversation. Now, at the chamber, I feel like we've been having this at a very theoretical level, the conversation, for decades. Well, it led us to prioritize housing, enabling and driving efforts to enable more housing as our top legislative priority this year. This morning at our board meeting, we had two separate policy conversations of proactive policy that the chamber in one area, and then the chamber, the Economic Vitality Corporation, and the Home Builders Association collectively have put together that are completely informed by how do we have smaller units? How do we actually reduce the barriers so that these pieces can happen at the county level and at the city level? And so that's a direct outcome mm-hmm. of that kind of feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. I want to get back to, in just a moment, talking about how U40 is going to have an impact or how they're going to be engaged with some of the candidates that are going to be running. I'm Chris Kington Barker with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio Station from Salinas to Ventura, and online at kcbx.org. If you just recently joined us and would like to hear the show in its entirety, you can go to our website at kcbx.org and go to News Talk drop-down, click on Central Coast Voices, and you can activate the most recent show or one of our former shows. You can listen at your leisure. And in fact, you can do that to any of our locally recorded shows. We have about 15 minutes, a little less than 15 minutes on today's show. My guests are Mina Karim, President and CEO of San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce, Audrey Bigelow, member of the Founding Five for SLO Scoop, and Courtney Mesnerich, a leader with SLO U40. We're here talking about local efforts to reach and engage under 40 leaders and why it's important, regardless of age, how people can be involved in making a difference in our communities. But today we're really focusing on under 40. If there are questions you have about the topic we've not addressed or if a comment you want to make, you can still reach us at 781-3875. So you mentioned there are three candidates that are under 40 that are running this year, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
How is U40 involved in those campaigns, or are they?
We, as an organization thus far, have decided not to endorse candidates, but we are there to, you know, kind of be underlying support for U40s who want to get involved in local government. So on our own, a few of us are involved in the various city council campaigns, but mm-hmm. as an organization, we're not getting involved and we're not endorsing. But it's incredibly exciting to see three under 40 candidates on the ballot, and that's three out of there's six running total,
mm-hmm.
so we've got 50% of the ballot,
yeah.
And I think that's progress.
Yeah, no, it is. It is progress, and it's a real learning for the candidates, and I think for everybody watching them, too. And I was curious about SLO Scoop, too. Can you give an example of how a topic would be presented in SLO Scoop that would be kind of a cliff note? That's old school, I know, of a topic.
So we generally try to find topics that are interesting and relevant. And for the most part, we try to find things that are actionable. So we try to encourage in each one of our articles
what
some kind of taking action.
Call to action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we tend to find as many resources as we can on whatever topic we're looking at. And we want to just kind of give a, like I said, a quick summary that's easy to read. But we also make sure that there's a lot of links within each article so that people can click on those links and find more information about the topic and choose kind of how they want to educate themselves on the topic to get more information.
So it's really how people search on the web. So,
yeah,
you know, you go to a topic, and then if you're interested in it, you're going to link.
So, and we are doing our best to keep as many local sources linked to those things as we can. Sometimes we just throw in some fun references, pop culture references, quotes, videos, other things that are just for entertainment value. But we do try to link to as many local things as we can to really kind of create that community around, you know, we're trying to get information out there. We want people to go read more information, and we want to support people that are putting the work in to really dive more into those topics as well.
And how do you pick those topics?
We don't really have a method necessarily of how we pick things. We just, there's five of us, and there's certain things that we are passionate about, and it kind of just works. We have six categories that we try to stick within. Those categories are business, technology, community, political involvement, government stuff, fun stuff, and then events. So we try to stay within the framework of those six ideas and just whatever's kind of up and coming. It's really difficult to plan it too far in advance because the idea is to be relevant and to be able to take action on it, as you know, within a couple weeks, not a month from now or 2 months from now. So we try to find things that are happening in the next week or two that we can talk about, or ways that people can get involved, things that they can do that are going to be something they can do right then and there, versus like, oh, I have to go back and do that, and then you forget, and then it doesn't happen. So we're really trying to be very intentional with what people see and, you know, how they can do something about it.
So what are the plans? What are the next step for Slow Scoop? Is it to grow it or change it in any way? Stay with it how it is? Grow the membership?
Ideally, right now, we're really focused on growing the membership. Okay. And there's some ideas that we could, you know, make some changes to it maybe once it got more of a following. But I think the way that it is right now is working really well, and it's got a lot of really positive response. And there's no point in fixing it if it's not broken. So
yeah,
we're going to roll with it.
I think that's great. So if somebody wanted to join, they wanted to become a member, tell me how to do that.
So the best and the easiest way to subscribe to the newsletter is to go to facebook.com/slowscoop, and you can subscribe directly from the Facebook page, or you can click on one of the issues that have been posted and subscribe that way.
Okay. We have a question or a comment from Richard. Are you there, Richard?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
You had a question or comment?
Yes, I'm just calling on, this is wonderful discussion to hear this, and you're talking about the old system is like 30 years old or more. I was the county supervisor.
I know my system is.
In San Luis Obispo from 1968 to 1980, basically. And I'd be happy to talk to some of the people that you have going here in the future about how the old system used to work. I mean, that compared to what you're talking about, and I think it's wonderful. We always had problems trying to get anybody younger than 50 years old to come down to the courthouse. And to hear that the younger generation is doing this is very wonderful from my point of view.
So you're really excited about young people being engaged.
Yes.
And being curious. It's a lot different than having that one or two guys sitting in the audience that just used to harass you, right?
Yeah, well, there's always somebody who's going to have the wrong idea, but it'd be nice to talk to some of the young folks that are doing this and tell them what it used to be like, because when we started out, we didn't have any background in what you got into the system just by luck, more or less, and got elected. And I mean, the way things worked before, everything was based on how much property you had, you know. And the voices of the people that that were in power was what ran the county, you know. And
that's shifting.
It's been a long tradition.
Yeah.
Up until 1972, when I got elected, the boards usually were board of supervisors, at least. The votes were always unanimous, and things had been discussed beforehand, and the words and the whatever the issue was had already been talked down behind closed doors, and so the decisions were already made, and the people that came, that they were tolerated when they came before the board, and but the decisions basically had already been made.
Yeah, Richard.
So that started changing in the 70s, basically along with the environmental movement and so forth.
Well, thank you for that, Richard. I really appreciate it, and thank you for calling and letting us know how excited you are about having young people get involved.
It'd be good to. We thought of that. A couple of us at Cal Poly had thought about.
And we're gonna. We have about 5 minutes left, a little bit less than that. So I want to make sure that we follow up with Courtney too, about what you see as the next steps for U40.
Sure. So, like I said, we're planning a City Council Candidates Forum in October, so be on the lookout for information about that. And if you want to get information about SLO U40, you can sign up for our email list, which is how we communicate, at facebook.com/SLOU40. As far as next steps go, we want to grow our membership. We want to grow the number of people involved, and it seems like most people we come across that are under the age of 40 have been waiting for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see no end in sight to how big our membership can be.
Well, and I think it's really important to emphasize that this is really geared for the, you know, under the needs of what U40s were saying, their time commitments, family commitments, other life commitments. So it's structured around what they can give and just getting involved at any level that they can, right?
Exactly. Okay. At any level you can be involved, we welcome that.
Okay, fantastic. I want to thank my show's guest today, Ermina Karim, President and CEO of San Luis Obispo Chamber of Commerce, Audrey Bigelow, member of the Founding Five for SLO Scoop, and Courtney Mesnerich, a leader with SLO U40, and Richard for calling in and for sharing information about the way it was and its excitement for under 40s getting involved in local politics. Next week, please join Fred Monroe and his guests Nicholas Jackson, Jennifer Son, and Ryan Jacobs as they talk about how Pacific Standard, a national nonprofit media organization based in Santa Barbara, tells stories about society's biggest problems, both established and emerging, and the people attempting to solve them. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX and made possible by underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. We welcome your comments and about existing shows and also suggestions for future show topics and guests. You can submit them to voices@kcbx.org. I'm Chris Kington Barker. Thank you for joining me on Central Coast Voices.